A lot of people that sing really, really well. It's always, I'm fascinated by people who can sing because I cannot sing at all. And Roger, you're a blessing to me, brother. I love your ministry and song. And Chuck, brother, you are too. You did a great job in your message and song a couple of weeks ago. And in fact, I like your hair better. You know, week or two ago, I finished my morning time in the Word, and I went into my kneading place back in one of our bedrooms to pray. I've learned from experience, you know, take a phone with you because it's going to ring. And it did. And it was a Lifeway call. That's our company. And so I got that redirected to Waverly. Put the phone down, started praying again. Phone rang. It's the pastor. He said, "Preacher, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I was praying, or trying to, but this is the second time the devil's interrupted me. What can I do for you?" Said he was calling around trying to find someone special to preach. And then he decided he'd just call me. So here I am, and you have to miss the pastor today. I always miss hearing him preach when I'm away and suffer through one of my messages. But there is consolation for you, by the way, and that's biblical, because in 2 Corinthians 1:8 it says that those who partake in the suffering shall also partake in the consolation. So this is your consolation today. While I am preaching, I'm fully aware that we're having a covered dish luncheon right after this service. So I have worked on this message. I've whittled it down to 8 points and an hour and 8 minutes. So we're going to be out of here and ready to eat momentarily. Our text is Jonah chapter 1, and we'll read down through verse 3 or 2, chapter 3 and verse 2 maybe, that far. And the subject is remembering the Lord. Remembering the Lord. And this is about a situation. We remember the Lord when we worship. We remember the Lord when we pray. We remember the Lord when we're reading the Word. We remember the Lord going down the road, you know, whatever. But this is about remembering the Lord in a particular situation, in a unique situation. And we'll turn and read it in a moment. Have you ever found yourself in a time in the past, or maybe you're in one of those times now, when your soul is just about to faint within you? I mean, you're just in despair. It's tough. You just seem to be hopeless. It seems to be never ending. You feel boxed in and no one to help. And you just are worn out. And you feel like you've been brought to the point of despair. Maybe your situation was then, or is now, if you're in one of these situations, not of your own making. But nonetheless, it's no less painful, and it's no less wearing and tearing on you emotionally. Or, even worse, it could be that you knew then, during that time in the past, in that predicament, or now, if you're enduring something, that this situation is a result of your own wrong choices and your own sinful disobedience. That makes it even worse to go through, it seems. You ever found yourself in one of those situations? Just brought to the end of yourself. You're just worn out with it. Well, the wonderful thing about the Word of God, and the living Word of God it is, because we can always look into the Scriptures and we can find ourselves here. There are real people in here. And as Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, these things were written for our example. God has recorded this, preserved it for our instruction, that we might know how to live when we are in like situations. So Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and he was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said to him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God would think upon us, and we perish not." And they said, everyone to his fellow, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil has come upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou?" Jonah said unto them, "I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us?" For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, "Take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea stopped her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, "I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of the hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me." Then I said, "I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed about me, round about me. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was against me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee for into thy holy temple. They'd observe lying vanities, forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." And the Lord spoke unto that fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, "Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and to preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We love every syllable of your word. Thank you, Father, for preserving it for our instruction. Thank you for Jonah. Lord, it's going to be great to meet him someday. Father, today, bless this study for your glory. Master, wear me like a garment for your pleasure and for your purpose. as we look at these, your words in the book of Jonah. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen and amen. Well, what do you do in a mess like that? And I don't guess you've ever been in a mess like that. I have not been in a mess like that, but I have been in messes that were bad. I bet you probably at one time or the other have been in those difficult times of life as well. Well, the first thing that we want to remember here when we get into this situation is we want to remember to do what Jonah did. So what did Jonah do? First of all, Jonah remembered God's sovereign power. Chapter 2, verse 3. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. It's thy billows over me, thy waves passing over me, Lord. He remembered who was in control. Notice he did not blame it on the devil. And the tendency today is either to blame parents or the devil if we're spiritual, or whatever you, or we consider ourselves spiritual, and assume that all the good stuff comes from God, but never any correction comes from God, or never any adversity comes from God. It must be the devil, and he's taken over for the moment. Not so. Never has been so, and never will be so. Nothing can come to you, and nothing can come to me, except that which the Father allows to come unto us. So, Jonah first and foremost remembered the sovereign power of the Lord, and he demonstrated that by acknowledging that it was God who had cast him into the deep. And it was God's waves, God's water overflowing and so forth. God was in charge and Jonah knew it. The psalmist knew that as well. Psalm 135, 5 and 6, he speaks of God's sovereign power. For I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that he did in heaven and the earth, in the seas, and all deep places, God is in control. I love the testimony of Daniel concerning the Lord's sovereign power. Daniel 4:35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? God's in charge. If you're in a mess, God's in charge. If you have been in a mess, God was in charge then. Man, if you, Lord tarries and you live long enough, you're going to be in another mess for one of these days. Something's going to come along. Maybe not having anything to do with what you've done. Nothing. No fingerprints of yours at all on it. But it's a devastating time. Or maybe it's the result of your own sinful choice and disobedience to the Lord. But things happen, and the first thing we want to do is to remember that always, every day, when we get up, when we walk by the way, when we lie down at night, God is sovereignly in charge. God's sovereign power rules over all. There are 7 miracles in the first 2 chapters. That's not all the miracles in the book. I'm telling you, in this little short book, there are an incredible number of sermons here, and I'd like to preach them all, but I won't today, but there are just so many messages here about God's sovereign rule and his purpose for us and the nation of Israel has a strong message from this as well. Jonah 1:4, the violent storm. Who sent it? The Lord. The lot fell on Jonah. And the 7th verse of chapter 1, how did that happen? Well, the lot is cast in the lap, but what? The answer of the tongue is always from the Lord. The sea was calmed immediately when Jonah was cast overboard. Then there was this big fish prepared to swallow Jonah. I'm telling you, the infidels that I have read articles from that said there's not a fish big enough to swallow a man. One of the old Encyclopedias Britannica, they had this humongous whale out on the beach. A humongous thing. And had this car parked beside of it. Tell me that dude couldn't swallow a human being. This fish swallowed Jonah. In verse 17 of chapter 1, the fish carried Jonah 3 days and 3 nights in his tummy. Another miracle right there is this. Jonah wasn't digested during that time. And then in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 10, the Word of God records that God caused the fish to vomit up Jonah onto dry land. Have you ever thought about which side of the Mediterranean Sea that the fish vomited Jonah on? The Nineveh side, of course. Because you see, Jonah had a call to go to Nineveh. And instead of going to Nineveh, he went up to Joppa to get on the ship, paid the fare to go to Tarshish. Now, suppose for a moment the platform is the Mediterranean Sea, okay? Wall to wall. Behind me is north. Over there is Nineveh. Over there is Tarshish. You know how far it is? 2,000 plus miles. Jonah was serious about disobeying this call. I'm not going to do it. As they say back home in Lasse County, I ain't going to do that. I am not going to Nineveh. I'm going to run from the presence of the Lord. Famous last words. But it was the northeast he needed to go. It was only about 50 miles north of Galilee, probably. Maybe a little farther. He was trying to get 2,000 plus miles away in the wrong direction. Remember those old stand-up comedians used to open with this corny line. So many of them used this, you know, if you're old enough to remember this stuff. I happen to be not, but I've heard the pastor speak of it. A funny thing happened to me on the way to the studio tonight. You've heard some of that? Can you imagine the opening line that Jonah had? Guys, you're not going to believe how I got here. Well, I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. They listened to him when he spoke, because the Word of God records that they repented. Maybe he still had some seaweed on him and he had this strange smell and his skin was a little mottly from the stomach acids. I don't know what to say about all that. But they listened. Maybe something to do with the reason they listened, because they worshiped the fish god, Dagon. Maybe this wasn't so strange. Maybe he told them a fish brought them. Maybe they equated their fish god. Kind of immaterial, really. But the truth is, this man then obeyed God, then went to preach, and they heard and repented. Do you believe this story? If you do, you're in good company. Jesus believed it. Matthew chapter 12, verse 41, the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation, shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and one greater than Jonah is here. Jonah remembered God's sovereign power, first and foremost. And secondly, he remembered God's saving purpose in his life. You've got to remember that. Whatever happens to you, whatever happens to me, remember that God's sovereign power rules over all. I wouldn't be in this mess, or you wouldn't be in this situation or predicament, whatever, except that my sovereign, ruling, reigning Father has allowed it in my life, or maybe brought it into my life, or my correction or instruction or my growth in faith or whatever the case may be. And secondly, to remember his saving power and purpose in your life. I am a child of God. I don't know what this is about, but this is one thing I know. I am born of God. I belong unto Him. The day that I enrolled for Bible college full time, I had a little Toyota Celica and a Dodge van that I never saw or heard coming. Drove about a third of the way through it. It was on a Friday night, and I woke up in Parkland Hospital on a gurney out in the corridor, because it was, you know, the Gun and Knife Club is so active up here on Friday and Saturday night, and there was not a room, no room in the inn for me, and I was in the hallway. And I woke up, and my head was killing me. My head was empty. I didn't know. I couldn't think anything. It was just empty. And so I was sitting there with this terrible headache, laying there, my head was elevated, I remember that, tried to think a thought. And the first thing that I remembered was my name was Ray. Hey, I'm Ray. And the second thing that came to me was that I was born of God. My name is Ray, and I'm saved. I don't know where I am, why I am, what all this is going on, but I know that this dude with this terrible headache is born of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. That's the most important thing I could have thought that whole night. Because I was beginning to get anxious when my head was empty, and some people would say, well, your head's always been empty, not that empty. I couldn't think a thought. But then to come up with a blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine on a gurney with blood and broken glass all over me. That was a foretaste of glory right there. When you're in a mess, you remember God's sovereign power, and then you remember He has a saving purpose in your life. And it began before the foundation of the earth when you were chosen to belong to Jesus. And He called you in time and brought you safely into the family of God through faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You think this mess you're in now is going to thwart that eternal purpose? Not so. The Word of God says about you that you were called. And because you were called, you've been justified. And because you're justified, you're going to be what? Glorified. Past tense, yes. But it's in the future. Yet, when you'll be glorified, remember God's sovereign power. Remember God's saving purpose in your life. And that will help you. Unless something's really wrong with you, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to help you endure. And Jonah remembered God's saving purpose. He was a prophet with a call on his life to go to Nineveh, which he had disobeyed. But then in chapter 7, Chapter 2, verse 7, he says, salvation is of the Lord. Jonah's own sin got him in this mess. He didn't want to go to Nineveh, so he had this experience because he disobeyed the Lord. And if you're in a mess, not of your own making, it'll be a little easier maybe to deal with than a mess that you know is definitely of your own making. Someone else has done this. It's not me, Lord. Please help me in this mess. Oh, that's easier, isn't it, than to say, Lord, I did this. This is a consequence of my sin. God, be merciful to me. You're going to cry for deliverance in either situation. It'll be easier if you didn't make a situation by your disobedience. You know why? Because if you know that you've sinned against the Lord, you know that you've disobeyed His call, and it's painful, and you're in agony, and you're crying out to the Lord. Every time you cry out to the Lord, you're going to be reminded that you bought this mess with disobedience unto Him in the first place. And you know that He has this eternal purpose, saving purpose in your life. You know that He's sovereignly in charge. You know that He can deliver you in a heartbeat. But what you really don't know is this. Because of your sinful disobedience that got you into this mess, you have no idea if God's going to deliver you anytime soon or He's going to allow the consequence of your sinful disobedience to work itself out for your chastisement and correction and instruction and righteousness. You know, God loves us enough to allow us to suffer the consequences of our choice, if that's necessary to enhance our hunger to walk in obedience unto Him. Romans 5:20 says this, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Well, what's that got to do with this? How does abounding grace square with the Lord who would look at me in this mess that I've created by myself, my own sinful engineering, and still let me suffer the consequences of my choice, even though it's doggone near killing me? What's grace got to do with that? This. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. Romans 8:1, there is now therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, period. No condemnation. Chastisement, yes. In the pits, chastisement. In the pit, not on your life. No condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Jonah remembered the Lord's sovereign power, and Jonah remembered God's saving purpose in his life. And thirdly, Jonah remembered God's sustaining provision in the past. You know, so often when we're in a mess, we look at the situation. You know, I mean, it's turmoil. We got seaweed all around our head. This is a mess. And I don't like this. And we focus on the situation. You know what that is? That is exactly what the devil wants you to do. And that's exactly what your flesh is going to want to do. Focus on the situation. And that's not helpful. Jonah remembered God's sustaining provision in the past. He said, I'm cast out of thy sight. Well, why did he feel that way? Because he knew that he had been in the sight of God. He knew that he had been in favor with God. Yet, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Why would he say that? Because he had done it in four times. I have looked at thy holy temple, unto thy holy temple. I've prayed unto thee. He's probably talking about the holy temple of the Father in heaven as opposed to Jerusalem there. Nonetheless, I have been in relationship with you. I am in relationship with you. And I will look again unto you. And Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9, while he's still in the stomach, he said, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. So do you realize he's talked about the billows and the waves and the depths and all of that other stuff, but now he's praising the Lord, salvations of the Lord, and I'm sacrificing to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay my vows and so forth and so on. Talks little about the situation, really. Ever felt that way, though? I mean, you just ever felt that you've been expelled from the sight of the Lord, and you think, goodness, Lord, do you know I'm in this mess? Lord, have you just completely turned your back on me? Pastor, one time, I asked him about his church. He told me where they were. I said, well, how long y'all been in that location? They were about to go to another location. He said, like 12 years, Ray. He said, but you know what? For the most part, I don't even think the Lord knew we're here. I don't guess his pastor would have been so good. I don't know. But you just feel like you're forgotten. I mean, there's just nothing going on with you. And, you know, oh, there was a time when the Lord was speaking to you. And there was a time when you were having some mountaintop experience. But, man, it's sure quiet now. Well, what is it? Do you have to have the Lord do something exciting every day just to get you to follow Him? Do you have to have some new sign every day just to keep your enthusiasm for the Lord cooking? That's a very self-centered deal, you know. The Lord said it's an adulterous situation, a generation that seeketh after a sign. So sometimes those moments of silence, the Lord is maybe attesting to see if we will continue to follow. The psalmist felt forsaken. Turn to Psalm 77. Psalm 77, verse 1, I cried unto the Lord my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered the Lord and was troubled, complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Notice that. My soul refused to be comforted. I was absolutely overwhelmed, brought to the point of despair, his soul fainting there within him. If you look down to verse 7 through 10, you might see why he was troubled when he remembered the Lord. Notice verse 7. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Notice the next line. Hath he in anger shut up his mercies? Shut up his mercies. You know why he asked that question in prayer? Because he knew the problems were related to sin. Has God in his anger shut up his mercies? And I said, verse 10, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the Lord. Right hand of the Most High. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, the psalmist is saying, look, this mess is mine. I bought this form of my sinful disobedience. Nevertheless, I will remember the years of the right hand of God. What is he remembering? the years of favor, the years of blessing, the years of direction, the years of intimate fellowship. He's out of that now. It feels like the Lord has turned his back on him because of his sin. But he's stopping to look from looking at that and looking back. I remember. I remember. I remember. In the fit of despair, in the pit of despair, the psalmist, like Jonah, remembered the Lord's saving purpose in his life. It is my grief. Nevertheless, I will remember. Hebrews 13:5, hang on to it in the pit. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You may be in a mess of your own making, but you're still my child. And child of mine, God would say, listen to me. I know where you are. I know why you are. And I know how long you're going to be there. And I can remove this situation at any time. If you and I were in the belly of the whale, we'd probably feel forsaken. Scared out of our wits. Swimming and all this stuff. I can't imagine what that was like. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came into thee, into thy holy temple. Listen to me. When you're in the pits, when the pain is killing you, when you're perplexed, if you don't know you got another heartbeat after this one, remember this. God's sovereign power is in charge over your life and every single heartbeat that you have. God's saving purpose hasn't been thwarted by this new event in your life created by yourself or some other unrighteous purpose or person, maybe. Nothing's changed about your relationship with the Father. Psalm 27:13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I don't care what you're going through or what I have to go through. The Lord is my Lord. He's your Lord. He's in control. So the point, Jonah thought he was going to die. He remembered the Lord, who he is, what he is, and he remembered his saving purpose in his life. Same thing David did. He remembered God's purpose in his life. If you've ever been brought to a point of despair, you know, it's never pleasant. Who wants to be brought to a point of despair? But you know, it might be a good thing. It might be a real good thing to be brought to a point of despair if you respond correctly, at least not getting bitter at the hand of the Lord. Paul writes, and you can turn this if you want, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul writes, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired, even of life. Paul went through this. Jonah went through this. The psalmist went through this. Job went through it. We have the sentence of death in ourselves. Why? That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death in the past, and he doth deliver, present tense, and in whom we trust he shall yet deliver us. You know what happened there? Paul went through some stuff, despaired even of life. What was the purpose? Faith in three tenses. Looking back, I remember what he's done. Looking at the present, he's perfectly capable of doing what he wants to now. Looking in the future, confident that he will yet deliver us from this. So, deliverance from the peril, Paul's case. Growth in faith based on what is now a past experience. Results in present faith, to trust in the future. Faith that sees the future, faces the future, and trusting in future deliverances. Notice David's statement of faith. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember, trust in the name of our Lord. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? The heart is desperately wicked. And sometimes genuine trust in the Lord can't begin to really blossom in your soul until your last chariot of hope just went out of sight. And you're forced to say, okay, Lord, it's just you, Master. and me. You know what? When you find yourself in a situation like that, it may prove to be the very best time of your whole eternal life. Just you, Lord, and me. So if you find yourself there, remember, God's sovereign power over your life and all things. God's saving purpose in your life. God's sustaining provision in times past. And stand by faith. And it's okay to say, Lord, I don't like this. Lord, I know this. I can't blame this on anyone else. It's my fault. But I don't like this situation I'm in. Oh, God, I beg your mercy. Remember this verse, this promise to you, Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If you're in the belly of the whale, it doesn't postpone this event right here, ladies and gentlemen. The day of Jesus Christ is not going to be postponed by anyone. And you know what? En route to the day of Jesus Christ, though hand joined in hand, no one can thwart the purpose of the Father whose power is sovereign and reigning and ruling. And you know what else? No one can thwart God's purpose in your life and mine. So we can turn that around and personalize it, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in me will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. We could corporatize and say, he which hath begun a good work in us, Grace Baptist Church, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I believe this book, and this book tells me God's in charge, Pastor.